Praise be Jesus Christ. Peace be with you this morning, Monday, March 28th, in the fourth week of Lent, right after Laetare Sunday, the day of rejoicing. Dear friends, I know it's been a very long time since I've recorded a podcast episode. This semester has been intense with academic work and preparations for diaconate. So I thank you for your patience and your prayers for me. I hope to get back to recording weekly episodes soon, maybe as soon as this weekend. Although I can't make any promises there, there's still some work to be done before the semester comes to an end. Nonetheless, I wanted to share with you an episode of Seminarian Stories I recently recorded with Dina Marie Hale for Mater Dei Radio, a Catholic radio station in Portland, Oregon. This is available through materdeiradio.com, but I wanted to share it here on my podcast as well, in your Embrace podcast, so that those of you, in case you maybe didn't catch it on Mater Dei Radio, the morning blend, get a chance to hear it here. Again, please continue to pray for me as I'm getting ready for diaconate ordination in less than 2 months. And to all of you who are praying, I'm very, very grateful for your continued support. We ask the Holy Spirit to continue to enlighten our efforts and to light the way before us as we journey forward. Friends, God bless you this week. I hope you enjoy the program.
Good morning. This is Dina Marie Hale for Mater Dei Radio. The season of Lent is a 40-day period of time where Christians are called to a deeper encounter with Jesus. So how does the liturgy, sacred music, silence, and prayer better form our hearts for a Jesus encounter? With me today to help us reflect upon the Lenten journey and how the beauty of the church and the liturgy of the church can be a way for us to encounter Christ, we have Matthew Knight with us, a seminarian for the Archdiocese of Portland and Oregon, who is currently studying at St. Patrick's Seminary and University in Menlo Park, California. Good morning, Matthew, and thanks for joining us on the Morning Blend.
Good morning, Dina Marie. Glad to be with you.
It's great to reconnect with you and to see the progress in your formation for the priesthood. And we continue to pray for all of our seminarians, close and far away, to keep you close to Our Lady as you continue on the journey. I wanted to particularly ask you today about the liturgy. And I know the beauty of the liturgy has been such a way that you've moved through your vocation. Give us a sense early on as you were starting to explore, well, one, the Catholic Church, and two, the priesthood. How was liturgy and the beauty of the liturgy and the church part of that discernment process and part of your engagement with Christ?
Absolutely. Yeah, my first experience of the Roman Catholic Mass as a convert from Protestantism, I was very affected by the beauty of the liturgy. I remember sitting in the back of the church, watching Catholics kneel to pray, using holy water to bless themselves. And of course, the ritual actions of the priest, lifting up the Blessed Sacrament, everything plays into this beautiful dynamic of liturgy, whereby God is acting, man is responding with all of our senses, with the whole body, our voices, everything in us is responding to God. And I think beauty really has a capacity to draw something out of us. You know, in the philosophical tradition of the church, we say beauty is a transcendental, which means it opens up into eternity, into infinity. And we have this experience whenever we see something beautiful. I think we've probably all had these moments in our life, whether in the liturgy or just in the world. Beauty captivates, it draws us out of ourselves. It forces us to, it compels us really to come out of ourselves into something greater.
I love that, Matthew. And as you know, you were watching, I think, heaven open up in the Catholic Mass as you've entered into the church and now, you know, so many years in the seminary to spend some time at the monastery with the Benedictine monks, now at St. Patrick's. How has that beauty of the liturgy even come more alive for you?
For me, I would say as I continue to learn more in the study of sacred theology and the study of the liturgy, more and more about the meaning behind each of the signs, the ritual actions, the sacred sounds, the sacred chant. In all of these, nothing is done by accident in the Catholic liturgy. Everything has a meaning behind it, both historically and also a spiritual significance. And so there's incredible depths that you can plumb simply by your own meditation upon the liturgy and also by study and good reading. So for me, throughout my formation, I've been 8 years now in the seminary. And as I continue to learn more and more, there's always new depths that are opening up.
Yeah. Matthew, as you know, you spent time in that preparation time to become Catholic. And through many of us, I experienced the RCIA. But for somebody new who's just starting to explore this Catholic Church, just trying to get an idea of what is Holy Mass all about, you know, how would you just kind of bridge that gap and just kind of enter somebody into engaging more closely the connection with the Catholic Mass as maybe an outsider looking in, wondering, is this for me?
That's a big question. I would say the number one thing to know as an outsider looking in, the Catholic Mass is not mere ritual. In the Catholic Mass, what we're experiencing and what we're living is the representation of the life of Jesus, both within every single Mass, also within the entire liturgical year, all the seasons, Lent, Advent, Easter. We're reliving the life of Christ again with him. And in the Mass, par excellence, we're reliving Christ's sacrifice of himself on Calvary to the Father, his death, his passion, and his resurrection. And we're being caught up into this great mystery through the external acts and rituals of the Mass and through our own interior participation in everything that's going on.
It's so beautiful. And I love the testimonial by Scott Hahn, who was just like you, sitting in the back of the church at his first Mass and hearing the scriptures from Old Testament to New Testament to Revelation. This is all being lived out in the holy sacrifice. And I think that's such the key. This is the sacrifice of the Mass. That's why there is the altar. That's why there is all of the scripture. And so we have to remember the ultimate sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Seminarian Matthew Knight is with us. He's currently studying at St. Patrick's Seminary and University, one of about four different seminaries that our men studying for the priesthood here in Western Oregon attend. And so it's beautiful to hear a little bit of 8 years thus far on the discernment, on the formation process for you, Matthew. As we enter into this Lenten season, let's just look a little bit at the liturgy and maybe you could open up a little bit. You know, one of the first things we experience is Ash Wednesday and people come, although it's not a holy day of obligation, they come for the ashes. They come to receive something to invite you to a deeper relationship. Repent and believe in the gospel. Maybe give us a sense of what you experienced at Ash Wednesday or what we should be recalling in that first engagement into this new penitential season.
Well, the contrast is always so striking, isn't it? Lent begins in the midst of springtime. And so here in the world surrounding us, everything is coming to life. The flowers are blooming, the birds are singing. And in the church, it's ashes. And the music is austere. The flowers are taken away. And it's a reminder that for us as Christians, death opens up into life. Life comes forth from dying. And so the beginning of the season of Lent for us, we're sprinkled with ashes, or the ashes are signed on our forehead. As a reminder, as the priest says, dust you are and unto dust you shall return. For ourselves in our mortal nature, we're nothing. We're passing away just like the flowers. The flowers spring up and then they die again. But with Christ, we open up into eternal life. He comes to give us the new life of grace, which will never end. And therefore, repent and believe in the gospel. Believe in the good news. You're made for eternity. Lent is this refocusing on the eternal life that Christ came to give us. And he offers to us again and again every day, and especially in this season, which comes again every year.
Give us a little sense. You mentioned the flowers are taken away, you know, the music changes, or maybe we have much less music. There's just this something that reflects in the sound, in what we see in all of our senses, that Lent impacts all of our senses.
Yes, that's right. That's right. Yeah, just as the liturgy makes use of all of our senses. So in Lent, everything is stripped away to a certain extent, or it's reduced. So you'll find probably in the different parishes that the organ is played much less. There's not supposed to be much instrumental music. The flowers are taken away. Instead of white or gold, the more festive colors, the priest wears violet and the altar is dressed in violet. So there's a somber mood. And that's going to increase as Lent goes on. In the week before Palm Sunday, before Holy Week. In many of our churches, the statues and the cross will be covered over with veils. And the idea is, as we're going into the desert, deeper and deeper into the desert, being conformed more and more to the passion of Christ, the things that normally give us joy, we're putting those aside for a time. Just as during Lent, we might fast from something for a season. It's not because these things are bad. They're great things that the Lord gives us. But during the season of Lent, we're kind of going deeper. We're going deeper into the desert with the Lord. And that way, when we come to Easter, the joy will be all that much greater when all these things are restored to us all at once at the Holy Easter Vigil.
Absolutely. Matthew Knight is with us, seminarian with the Archdiocese of Portland and Oregon. And Matthew, we've got a lot more to talk about. We're just coming to a break, and I'd love to have you reflect with us a little bit about the Triduum and about Holy Week. So can you hold on the line, and we'll get back with you at the other end of the break.
Thank you, Dina Marie.
This is Dina Marie for Mater Dei Radio, and we're back with our seminarian studying at St. Patrick's Seminary and University in Menlo Park, California. Matthew Knight is with us, and we've been reflecting a little bit on the beauty of the liturgy, particularly during this time of Lent as we anticipate the greatest feast, the Feast of the Resurrection. And so how beautiful is it for us to come together and prepare the way for the Lord. Matthew, as you were talking earlier, you said the word rejoice. And I just think there is the fourth Sunday of Lent in the Advent season. It's the third Sunday, Gaudete Sunday, or Laetare Sunday. The color shifts from purple to rose. Give us a sense of the liturgy and what she would reflect during this particular week in Lent.
Yeah, Laetare Sunday, the name comes from the entrance antiphon in Latin. Laetare Jerusalem, rejoice, O Jerusalem. Why are we rejoicing in the midst of Lent, this desert? Because we're already casting our minds ahead towards Easter, the celebration that's coming. And the church, in a sense, gives us this oasis in the middle of the desert in which we already have a foretaste of the Easter joy that's yet to come. And so, yeah, the priest only on these two Sundays of the year, Laetare Sunday and Gaudete Sunday, wears the rose vestments. The rose vestments are a particular sign of this joy, which in a sense is always there beneath the surface, even when we're wearing the violet. And now all of a sudden it kind of bubbles up. We can't suppress it any longer. And it's fitting that it comes about midway through the Lenten journey. In a sense, it's a little bit of a release valve, isn't it? We're in the midst of all this austerity and fasting and things which are sometimes difficult for us, but we always keep our minds fixed on the joy of Easter, the joy of the resurrection. I love a quote from St. John Paul II, who said, "We are an Easter people, and Alleluia is our song. Even though in Lent we fast from singing the Alleluia, nevertheless, we are an Easter people, looking ahead towards the heavenly Jerusalem."
Yeah. Well, let's get a little bit closer to that transition time from the close of Lent, and then we move into that Easter season. And again, Lent is a season, 40 days, Easter season, 50 days, Holy Week, which really, I think, begins Palm Sunday, and then we move into this transition with the liturgy. Give us some highlights, Matthew, of the liturgy as we transition from Palm Sunday into Holy Week. What are some key things we need to be listening for and be aware of?
The Holy Week liturgy, especially the what's called the Paschal Triduum, that's Holy Thursday, Good Friday, and Holy Saturday, opening up into Easter Sunday. You know, the church says those 3 days are all one liturgy, one great liturgy. It's the heart of the whole liturgical year, because on those days, you know, I said we're living through the life of Christ through the whole year. In those days, particularly, we're living through Christ's passion. So on Holy Thursday, we're with him in the upper room as he celebrates the Last Supper. Pay attention to the washing of the feet at the Holy Thursday liturgy. This is a commemoration of when the Lord commissioned the disciples to go and to love as he loved, to serve as he served. He institutes the priesthood and he institutes the Holy Eucharist, these great mysteries. Then on Good Friday, I would say, be attentive to the veneration of the Holy Cross. On Good Friday, we come forward, we kiss the wood of the cross, because from this cross came forth our salvation. Holy Saturday is a day on which no liturgy is celebrated until the evening when we celebrate the solemn Easter Vigil. So Holy Saturday is a day of stillness and contemplation. We keep company with the Lord while he lies in the tomb. We pray with him in the silence of that day, and we await the Easter joy. And then on the Easter Vigil, in the midst of the night, the darkest hour of the night, the priest lights the Paschal candle and lifts it up and proclaims, Lumen Christi, the light of Christ. Behold, the light of Christ, which shines in the darkness. And as St. John so beautifully says, that darkness cannot overcome it. On these days, there's so much, so like we've mentioned, for all the senses to feast upon, the sacred sounds, the sights, the smells, the incense, everything. So just a feast at the banquet the church provides in these holy liturgies.
Matthew, as you think about the various holy weeks you've already celebrated, highlights for you, maybe that first Easter vigil. I mean, what maybe are some memories that you really kind of go back to or are grateful for in being part of the holy liturgy?
That first Easter vigil, what I remember is the bonfire that was lit outside the church, and the Paschal candle is lit from this immense burning fire in the midst of the darkness of the night. And I think for us as Christians, I mean, I've been formed by the Carmelite tradition, and St. John of the Cross speaks so much about these symbols of fire and night. There's a lot for us there. The world, in a sense, surrounds us with darkness, which presses in. And in the midst of the darkness, there shines a light. And sometimes it's a small flickering flame, like a little candle that we hold. And on either in night of the Easter Vigil, the Holy Vigil, it's like a great bonfire that nothing can contain, that consumes everything and fills the world with light.
As we approach Holy Week, Matthew, this year, and for you, will you be able to come to the cathedral and spend time with us here in the Archdiocese of Portland?
Unfortunately not. I'll be here in California, but my heart will be with you all there in Western Oregon.
Well, give us a sense. Will you be able to take part in some of the different liturgies then with your community there at St. Patrick's?
Yes, I will. I think I'll be in a parish here in San Francisco, close to where the seminary is. So that's another beautiful thing, of course, about our Roman Catholic liturgy. All throughout the world, we're living the same calendar and we're having the same celebrations.
It is so beautiful. Matthew Knight is with us again, seminarian for the Archdiocese of Portland in Oregon. And I'm just going to ask you, I know a few weeks ago, Archbishop Sample came, visited the campus. He takes time to visit all of the seminarians throughout the year. And I believe it was on St. Patrick's Day, just your reflection of having time to be with Archbishop, with you all that are studying for the Archdiocese and that beautiful time of visit.
Yes, we were very glad to have him here. He came on St. Patrick's Day. He was here for 2 days. Yeah, we got to have some time with him as the Portland seminarians with our Archbishop. He also celebrated our community mass for all the seminarians here at St. Patrick's, which was a joy for us to be able to show him off to the other seminarians from different dioceses. And he gave us a powerful homily, exhorting us as a bishop of the church to take seriously the Lord's command to serve, that we are here to serve the body of Christ. It is not just a theory, but actually that Holy Thursday command, the mandatum, to serve the way the Lord served is the purpose of the priesthood. So I think we were all very affected and inspired by his example and his testimony here.
Yeah, I know he had a great time, and we saw some pictures posted on Facebook of just smiling faces. So we're so proud of our seminarians and so grateful for your yes to just follow the Lord's call wherever he calls you. Matthew Knight again with us. And as we come to a close, Matthew, you've been touched by the beauty of the church's liturgy. How you would encourage others to encounter Jesus Christ through the beauty of the church, an invitation for us to maybe be more open to that invitation to encounter Jesus.
You know, I think one of the great liturgists of the last century, Romano Guardini, who had a big influence on Pope Benedict XVI, he said, you know, if anyone was going to ask me, how should I learn to enter into the liturgy? The first lesson I would tell them to acquire is stillness. We need to have a great stillness in order to receive the beauties of the liturgy. And that takes some practice. So maybe as you begin to make your way to Holy Mass on the drive towards the church, what can you do to inculcate more silence and stillness? Can you make that drive in silence, fast from the radio and from conversation? Can you get to church 10 minutes early so you can abandon your cares into the arms of the Lord and then begin to enter into a posture of listening and receptivity? And then the other thing I would say is just continue to study the sacred liturgy, and some of the homilies of Pope Benedict and people like Romano Guardini are great sources to learn more about these symbols As we learn more about them, then we receive more of the riches the church has for us in her liturgy.
Silence is such the key to listen to the call of Christ. Again, let's continue to pray for our seminarians as they study in our seminaries around the globe and ask Our Lady to guide them in their vocation. Thank you, Matthew, for your time today. We wish you and all of the seminarians there at St. Patrick's the best as you enjoy and really take part in the Lenten practices, and have a very blessed Lenten season.
Thank you, Dina Marie. God bless you.